Please give your attention and your prayerful thoughts as our brother brings you a message.
Thank you, Jay. It is good to be with you here today and to see each one of you here. Today I want to talk about some of the things that are important in life. Some of these things that Christ requires of us. You know, in life there are some things that don't matter. There are other things like sin that can lead us away to destruction. And then there are the important things in life that if we follow after them, that they will lead us to salvation. And it is important that each one of us understand what is required of us, what Christ requires of us to obtain this salvation. You know, as we grow up, there may be spiritual things that we don't completely understand. I can remember as I was a child, as I was growing up, there was things that were not really clear to me. And some of these things may be vital to our soul salvation. And there may be many different reasons why we don't fully understand these things. But we must clearly understand what Christ requires of us. It is vital to our salvation. You know, we have sayings in the English language that really don't make sense. But for some reason, we understand them. And we understand their meaning. I have a few of them here. Why do slow down and slow up mean the same thing? Why do fat chance and slim chance mean the same thing? Why is it called after dark when it is really after light? Why are a wise man and a wise guy opposites? Why do overlook and oversee mean opposite things? And why do we drive on a parkway and park on a driveway? You know, there's things that we understand these things, don't we? But if you really analyze them, they don't make that much sense. And you know, over the years, I know that there have been people that have fallen away from the Church of Christ. And I'm sure that they understood these things that I just read that have no importance to their soul salvation. But they didn't understand. They didn't understand those important spiritual things that will lead us to salvation. Somewhere along the way, they lost touch. Didn't fully understand what was required. Didn't fully understand the consequences. It's important. It's important that we understand. Understand what's required. Understand the consequences for our actions. And I want to cover a few subjects here this morning to help us understand what their importance is in our spiritual lives. And I want to start with some easy ones. As I read them, see if you think that these are the easy ones. The first one, where is heaven? How does God know our thoughts? How did God create us from the dust? Does the universe ever end? And if it does, what is on the other side of it? These are the easy ones, right? I'm sure many of us have thought of similar type things, similar type questions that we have struggled with. Let's see what the scriptures say about these things. Let's turn over to Mosiah chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. On page 220, believe in God. Believe that He is and that He created all things, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that He hath all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend. Kind of tells us the answer, doesn't it? That some of these things in life we're not going to comprehend. In this mortal being, they're way beyond our comprehension. We're not going to have an understanding of them. Let's turn over to Mormon chapter 4, verses 77 through 78. This is on page 711. Behold, are not the things that God hath wrought marvelous in our eyes? Yea, and who can comprehend the marvelous works of God? Who shall say that it was not a miracle that by His word the heaven and the earth should be, and by the power of His word man was created of the dust of the earth? And by the power of His word, hath miracles been wrought? We see here it talks about this miraculous power of God. The miracles that He has performed, that we have read about in the scriptures, miracles that we have seen. And it talks about man being created from the dust. And it is important that we realize that God did all these things. You know, many people today have been deceived with evolution, different theories of how the world came about. They have turned their back on God, and they believe a false doctrine. But we're not going to understand all these things. But we must believe and have faith that God created the heavens and the earth. And we're not going to have a full understanding in this life of how He did it. Let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We're not going to have the answer to some of these things in this life. We're not going to fully understand them. But these are the things that we don't need to worry about. We don't need to worry about exactly how God did this. We must just believe that He is all-powerful, that He created everything. So these are some of the things that we don't need to know. But there are other things that are important. Other things that are vital to our salvation. The second one I want to look at this morning is baptism. You know, I was baptized when I was 10 years old. And at the time I was baptized, I did not fully understand the commitment that I was making. or the consequences for not fulfilling this commitment. And I'm not saying that it was necessarily my age or whatever. I just did not fully understand. And I think sometimes when we grow up in the church, and you know, I asked to be baptized, and of course everyone was happy that I wanted to be baptized, but just because we grew up in the church does not necessarily mean that we have an understanding of all of these things. And I know at that time that I did not fully understand the covenant that I was making, nor the consequences that if I broke that commitment, if I broke that covenant. I clearly understand that now. I clearly understand that covenant that I made. I clearly understand the consequences. So, and each one of us is a little bit different. Each one of us has a little bit different knowledge of the Scriptures. But there are some things that we must know. We must know and understand. And we're not going to know and understand everything. We could read the book of Isaiah, and I can assure you that not everyone in this room is going to have the same exact interpretation of that. But there are things that we must know. We must clearly know them. We must clearly understand them. They are vital to our salvation. Let's turn over to Mosiah. Chapter 9, verses 39 through 41. It's on page 259. Very common scripture that is read at a baptism service. And now, as ye are desirous to come into the fold of God and to be called His people and are willing to bear one another's burdens, that they may be light. We see when we're wanting to be baptized that we are desirous to come into the fold of God and to be called His people. That's what we're saying when we want to be baptized. We want to be Christ's people. Part of the fold. Yea, and are willing to mourn with those that mourn. Yea, and comfort those that stand in need of comfort. And to stand as witnesses of God at all times and in all things and in all places, that ye may be in, even until death, that ye may be redeemed of God and be numbered with those of the first resurrection, that ye may have eternal life. Now I say unto you, if this be the desires of your heart, what have you against being baptized in the name of the Lord? As a witness before Him, that ye have entered into a covenant with Him, that ye are willing to keep His commandments, that He may pour out His Spirit more abundantly upon you. When we are baptized, we make a covenant with Christ, a lifelong covenant, to follow His commandments and to serve Him. That's what we do when we go down into those waters of baptism. We have made that covenant with Him that is for all times. Never ends. Never ends. Verse 44. And we had said these words, the Spirit of the Lord was upon Him, and He said, Helam, I baptize thee, having authority from the Almighty God, as a testimony that ye have entered into a covenant to serve Him until you are dead, as to the mortal body, and may the Spirit of the Lord be poured out upon you, may he grant unto you eternal life through the redemption of Christ, which he hath prepared from the foundation of the world. We made a covenant when we were baptized to serve him all our days, to follow the commandments. And we know that he promised us too, didn't he? To bless us, to give us eternal life. We know that God is not going to break his covenant. But we must never break that covenant ourselves. But you know, as each one of us have seen those that have walked away from the church, have left the church, have broken that covenant. They could not have clearly understood. There's no way they clearly understood. Because there are consequences. Severe consequences for breaking this covenant and falling away. Let's turn over to 2 Nephi, chapter 13, verse 18. This is on page 162. But behold, my beloved brother, thus came the voice of the Son unto me, saying, after that ye have repented of your sins, and witnessed unto the Father, that you are willing to keep my commandments by the baptism of water, and have received the baptism of fire and of the Holy Ghost, and can speak with a new tongue, yea, even with the tongue of angels, and after this should deny me, it would have been better for you that ye had not known me. Pretty severe, isn't it? Pretty severe for those that fall away. Better that you had not known the Lord if we fall away. When we have known the Lord, felt his presence, felt the presence of the Holy Spirit, and then to fall away and to have that separation, it would be better that we had never known that love, never felt that love of the Lord. Never felt him working in our lives. Severe consequences. Let's turn over to Alma, chapter 19, verses 45 and 46. We're going to read 45 and 46. If we would read 43 and 44, it talks about paradise. It talks about eternal peace, eternal happiness. That's what's in store for those that don't break that covenant, that serve the Lord to the end. Let's look at the consequences. And then, shall it come to pass that the spirits of the wicked, yea, which are evil, for behold, they have no part nor portion of the Spirit of the Lord, for behold, they chose evil works rather than good. Therefore, the spirit of the devil did enter into them and take possession of their house. And these shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And this because of their own iniquity, being led captive by the will of the devil. They broke that covenant. Turned their back on the Lord. followed after the temptations of Satan. And Satan is out there, tempting us, trying to lead us away, trying to somehow convince us in our minds that it would be a good thing to break this covenant. We must clearly understand what is required. Understand the consequences. My next subject is sin. And we just read about the consequences of sin. Now I want to talk a little bit about how man gets to this point. How they get to that point where they're willing to break that covenant. You know, the scriptures tell us that there are numerous ways to sin. So many that we can't even count them. The scriptures also tell us that all have sinned. We know that Christ, the only one that walked the earth, who did not have sin. We read in Alma 21:18, "For the Lord cannot look upon sin with the least degree of allowance." So we see that sin is never okay. It's never okay. It's breaking the law of our master. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 1, verses 25 through 32. We know that in Paul's writings that there are several scriptures that are similar to this, talking about sin, talking about the consequences of this sin. Verse 25, "Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their own lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was met." This scripture is very plainly talking about homosexuality. And we're going to read on down through here. We're going to see some other sins, and we're going to see the consequences for these sins. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, they which commit such things are worthy of death. Pretty strong words, aren't they? Are worthy of death. If we read this similar scripture in Galatians chapter 5, verse 20-21, it ends that verse. It says that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. pretty strong words. And I know this is these types of scriptures when I was young. You know, I was worried about these things. I was worried about losing my soul's salvation. As it talks about it, you know, if you commit these sins, you're worthy of death. And you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. So if we commit these sins, is our soul lost forever? Not if we repent. Not if we repent of these sins. When we repent, our sins are washed away. Let's turn over to Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. If we truly repent of our sin, He will forgive our iniquity. And it says, I will remember their sin no more. It won't be mentioned again. The Lord won't be mindful of it. We won't be held accountable for that sin because we have repented and it has been washed away. So if we commit these sins and we repent of them, they are washed away. We'll not have that eternal death. We'll still be able to inherit the kingdom of God. But what if we are living in these sins? Then we cannot be forgiven of them. And our souls are in danger. Our salvation is danger. Because let's look at what is required to receive this forgiveness. Let's turn over to Mosiah chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. It's on page 220. A very clear scripture that tells us how to repent. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them. Humble yourselves before God. Ask in sincerity of heart that He would forgive you. And now, if you believe all these things, see that you do them. A doer of the word. So we see that we must believe that we must repent. And we must come to the Lord with a humble heart. And in sincerity of heart. And we see an important part here that we must forsake those sins. We must have a desire to put those sins out of our life. To not commit that sin again. But we see that if we are living in these sins daily, it is not possible to be forgiven because we have not forsaken them. We have not followed the rules for repentance. That is when our soul is in danger. This list of sins that I read. If we are living in those sins and not repenting of them and forsaking them, our soul is in danger. And you know, we talk about these things. And you know, sometimes I hate to talk about these things. Because I'm looking at God's children. I'm looking at Christ's children. I know you are. I can see it in your lives. I can feel your love. But for from time to time, ones that used to sit in this congregation have fallen away. They did not clearly understand. They did not clearly understand the consequences. So obviously we need to hear these things. We need to be reminded of them. I want to look at the second part of this subject. Those that were following along may have noticed that in Romans chapter 1, verse 32, I did not read the last half of that verse. Anybody notice? Yeah, somebody notice. Let's read the rest of that verse. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. We see this takes it a little bit farther, doesn't it? It takes it a little bit farther. We must be very careful here. Because we see there are consequences. If we take pleasure in these things, even though we're not committing these sins. You know, the commentary in my Bible says that have pleasure means are pleased with or give approval to. We can be in danger of losing our soul's salvation. And we today in this nation are being asked to do this. Every day we are being asked to give approval to sin, to support sin. Society is asking us to do this. We have to be careful about being entertained with these sinful acts. And they are everywhere. In movies, television programs, on the radio. We have to be careful. We have to be careful. And not take pleasure in these things. Not support these things. Not approve of these sinful acts. Because we can be held accountable. Just the same as those that commit these acts. We need to watch our very thoughts. Be diligent. Be diligent. Understand. Understand what is required. My next subject is the Holy Ghost. And you know, this is one of those subjects when I was a child that it scared me to death. To hear some of these scriptures about denying the Holy Ghost. Being fearful. Being fearful that somehow I had done that. Somehow I had denied the Holy Ghost. And I know that the Holy Ghost works in our lives. Draws us in. Draws those out of the world. Speaks to their mind. Let's look at Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So we see that the Holy Ghost works in our lives. But after we have repented of our sins and been baptized, that we receive that gift of the Holy Ghost. And you know, that gift, when we receive it, it is part of us. That gift dwells inside of us. It is there with us. It is that abiding spirit. That abiding spirit. It is very vital to our spiritual lives, because we know that it will guide us and direct us. It will warn us to not go there, or it will guide us to go here. Works in our lives. But let's see what happens if we deny that Holy Spirit. Let's look at Alma, chapter 19, verses 7 and 8. This is on page 445. Know ye not, my son, that these things are an abomination in the sight of the Lord? Yea, most abominable above all sins, save it be the shedding of innocent blood, or denying of the Holy Ghost. And he's talking, in this scripture, he's talking about adultery. But he's saying it's more abominable of all sins, save it be shedding of innocent blood, or denying the Holy Ghost. For behold, if you deny the Holy Ghost, when it once hath place in you, and ye know that ye deny it, behold, this is a sin which is unpardonable. Pretty strong words there, too, isn't it? To deny the Holy Ghost. But you know, for anyone to do that, that Holy Ghost has to have dwelt in them. It has to have been part of them. They have to have received that Holy Ghost. It dwells within them. And for them to deny it, they would have to turn their back on that Holy Ghost. Deny that it ever dwelt in them. Deny that it had part of them. And you know, like I said, as I was a child, I sometimes used to lay awake at night and worry about that. Worry about if I had somehow denied the Holy Ghost. But I didn't fully understand. I didn't fully understand. Because if we had denied the Holy Ghost, that light would go out. Just as you blow out a candle, that light in our life would be dark. There would be no doubt in our minds that we had denied that Holy Ghost. We would feel that separation from God. And having once known His love, we would feel that separation that could never be bridged again. What a terrible thing that would be. So if somebody leaves the church, have they committed that unpardonable sin? Some possibly have, but others have not. When we leave the church and turn our back on Christ, we've not necessarily committed that unpardonable sin. And we have those that have left the church and repented of their sins and come back into the fold. They obviously did not commit that unpardonable sin. But they fell away. And the problem when people fall away, although a few return, most do not. Most do not. Their heart becomes hard. They are led away by those temptations of Satan. We know the scriptures talk about Satan binding us in those chains. If we fall far enough away, Satan will bind us with those chains that are so strong that we cannot break them. So we need to be diligent. We need to be diligent in our spiritual lives. Always be on guard. And I hope that none of us ever fall away. But you know, if I'd have preached this sermon 10 years ago, or 20 years ago, some in the congregation are not here today. Not here. Because he didn't clearly understand. My last subject is marriage. I want to read in Mark chapter 10, verses 6 through 9. These are the words of the Master, Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 10, verses 6 through 9. And from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. We see as Christ talks about marriage, we see that he talks about it between male and female. And we know the world today is trying to change the words of Christ. Trying to change those words. But he also says that what therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. You know, in Christ's plan, marriage was intended for this life, for this entire life, to be together as husband and wife as long as we live on this earth. We know the marriage statistics, 50% divorce or more. Today they have something they call a prenup, prenuptials, where they will sign an agreement that in case they divorce, that one person will get this or that, or they won't get part of their wealth. So what are they saying when they do that? They're not planning for that marriage to last the rest of their life, are they? They're planning for divorce. They're predicting divorce. And probably a large share of them end up that way. But marriage is a covenant. It's a covenant that we make with our spouse. Very similar to the covenant that we make with Christ during baptism. It's a covenant that we make to honor love and cherish our spouse for our whole life. To be honest, truthful, and faithful to one another. You know, Christ often in his teachings talks about marriage. He uses this example, you know, this example that we can see here on earth of a man and a woman. He talks about this marriage between us and Christ. Us being the bride. And this example he's giving is this bond that we have. And we know that if we are faithful to the end, that you know, we will have that marriage with Jesus Christ. And we will dwell with him for eternity. This bond, this marriage bond that Christ talks about in our spiritual lives. There's also this bond, this covenant that we make here on earth with our spouse. And I know that there are those in the congregation today that are contemplating marriage. That sometime in the future that they will marry. We must choose our mates carefully. It's an important part of our life. An important part of our spiritual life. Make sure that you are unified spiritually. Have that same belief in God. Have those same values. Have that desire to work out the problems in life. Marriage in this life, there will be problems, there will be troubles, there will be disagreements. But it's a covenant we make with our spouse. And I think it's another one of these things that people don't clearly understand. They don't clearly understand when they say, "I do," and are married, what they are doing. That is intended to be a bond for life. And I know that broken marriages can cause one or both spouses to sin and to be in danger of losing their soul's salvation. It's important when we're choosing our mate to understand the commitment that we are making. These things that I brought before you today are things that, I guess, in my own life, that growing up, there was a time in my life when I didn't have a full understanding of these things. A full understanding of what was required of me. Or a full understanding of the consequences if I did not follow through with my covenant. So it is my desire today that each one of us will remain faithful. And if there are things that we don't understand, that if we don't clearly understand, that we seek them out, that we study the scriptures, that we ask someone. Because we must clearly understand these things that Christ requires of us so that we might obtain salvation. I thank you.